this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Rachel Sage, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. You're starting my day because it's only 10 a.m. in New York.
Oh, wow. You're in New York?
I am right now, yes. That changes all the time. But for today, I'm in my beloved New York City.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining me on Music Stories. Now, you've got a new single out called Flowers for Free. Let's have a little listen to it right now.
Met a man today, he gave me flowers for free. Said I was beautiful, said I was beautiful. Met a man today, he gave me flowers for free. Said I was beautiful, but I was gonna fall. And he couldn't have been any nicer. Now we couldn't have had more charm. And I stood there mostly paralyzed. He was reaching out his arms. He said, don't.
That's fantastic. I love it. Tell me about the song and what inspired you to write that song.
Sure. Well, this particular track I actually wrote as a teenager. So it was one of my innumerable demos that ended up on a cassette, and I recorded it on a four track and sort of forgot about it because I didn't really know what it meant. It was inspired by the Beatles, and I was listening to a lot of, you know, British rock at the time. And I probably just came from a very subconscious sort of psychedelic place. And then when I was going to make this album, my mom gave me back all these demo cassette tapes and that she found in her basement. And I listened to this one and I thought, wow, this actually sounds a lot like a conversation between life and death itself that isn't, you know, necessarily dark or judgmental in any way. It's just sort of a logistical conversation like, no, I'm not ready for you. You know, you have a lot more to do. You have a lot more living to do. And it just felt really resonant coming out of the pandemic with so many people having survived so much. And, you know, just trying to get back to that hopeful place of knowing our purpose and what we're meant to do on this earth.
Okay. Well, that's some inspiration. It's from your forthcoming album, The Other Side, 15 tracks of good music. Tell what inspires you generally to write a whole album? 15 tracks is good value for money, isn't it?
Oh, well, I do my best. Honestly, I don't think about that at all.
No.
But yes, I mean, as you can imagine, you know, for any type of performing artist, this time that we all went through together where we were questioning everything, you know, are we going to get to do what we love so much again? How do we go about it now in a creative way? Everybody was live streaming. And for me personally, I did a whole other project that was based on spoken word. I think everybody just wanted to make the best of every situation they were in while also keeping sight of, you know, the future. How am I going to go back to my life differently? You know, how am I going to relish seeing my loved ones differently or travel? Mm. And when it was finally time for everybody to get back to it in that sense, I feel like there was more depth of appreciation and gratitude, which is something that I also felt like I flexed as a muscle being a cancer thriver a few years back. So it was almost like some of those tools and some of that sensibility, you know, people meditating more, just being more mindful, that was something I was looking at it as a silver lining. And so in a lot of ways, that's how I came at this record.
Do you think that generally speaking, that people have benefited from the pandemic, you know, come out the other
benefit
side?
Benefit is a strong word. I wouldn't wish what we all went through and certain people specifically who lost loved ones, of course, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, but I do think there is often a silver lining when you go through any kind of crisis, especially when you go through it together. And we were going through it as a world community. So of course, you know, that is, I feel like that is my natural way. And that's my nature, is to look at the optimism and to try to glean some truth that we can cling to. As a songwriter, sometimes I come at that from a more serious angle, songs like Whistleblow on the album, but the title track, The Other Side, and certainly Flowers for Free, they're really more about, you know, thinking about what do I have left to do and how am I going to go about it, you know, with kindness, with mindfulness. So, you know, as I often say, I'm a bit of a sophista hippie. And I do feel sometimes like I'm in the wrong era. I identify so strongly with the 60s and 70s. That's the music that I was raised on by my parents. Yeah. So,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's all good. Now, you've had some guest vocalists on some of the tracks, haven't you? The one and only Howard Jones.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I'm still pinching myself that that actually happened. But I, as you may know, I've toured with Howard Jones a handful of times in the US and UK, and he's become a good friend and kind of like family now. My tour manager, my violinist and I, we've, you know, hung out with him and his wife at their home, their beautiful home, and met, you know, his wonderful family. So I finally worked up the courage to ask him, you know, hey, you want to sing on my record? And he was so chill about it. He was like, you know, absolutely, why not? So we did it all remotely, and I sent him the stems, as we say, the naked tracks on the record. And he added the most beautiful harmony, and he put so much love and heart into it and really wanted to make sure that I loved it and that it was the right part, not just a good part, but the right part. And I'm just so grateful.
Fantastic. Now, I'm going to wind your clock back a bit now, if that's the right phrase, and ask you how you got started in the music business as a very young person, because, you know, you're quite experienced now. You're still very young, but, you know, you're very experienced. I can see you sitting in front of some sophisticated music making equipment.
Yeah, my home studio.
Yeah, it's lovely. So how did it all start for you?
You know, I have been writing songs since I was 5 or 6 years old. I started playing piano at like 2 and a half, but it was all very automatic for me. And I look back and I think, well, it was really brilliant of my parents to have a piano in their living room when neither one of them is musical. You know, I think it's easy for parents who are musical to think, oh, well, sure, my kid will play the instrument I play or another one I happen to also know how to play. But they really had the forethought to think, you know, well, maybe one of my kids will take to this. And if that instrument hadn't been there, you know, I probably would be a full-time actress instead or something. So I was just lucky in that sense, but I did have this innate, you know, gift for playing music by ear. So it was kind of like a neat trick, you know, my friends or even kids who were bullying me, who weren't so nice. Once they found out that I played piano, I was that girl who could play anything on the radio.
The cool girl.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but I was the, the kid, the girl who played piano. And I went to camp and I wrote songs. And, you know, then I wrote songs as a teenager about what I was going through emotionally, you know, crushes on people and, you know, things not being fair at home or whatever I felt as in my teenage angstful years. And then when I finally went to college, I discovered artists like Suzanne Vega and Sean Coleman, Sinead O'Connor, a lot of singer-songwriters who were writing very substantive, socio-politically minded songs and kind of neo-folk, as it were. That really turned me on a lot. So I haven't looked back since.
Fantastic. I'm guessing that you can read music.
No, actually.
You can't.
No, because I studied ballet very fervently. I was a conservatory ballet dancer in my teen years. But, you know, we would hear all this incredible music all day long from these wonderful accompanists, many of whom were Russian, you know, and they were playing classical the whole hour and a half you were in the studio. But they never told us what pieces we were listening to. So it was kind of a you know, a strange music appreciation experience. And then I would go home and play these songs, these melodies by ear. My mom would be like, honey, that's not your tune. That's Prokofiev. Like, keep trying. You'll come up with something original or whatever. But it was all just music to me. So yeah. I did have a musical education in that sense.
Yeah.
But I never learned to read. So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, lots of the greats can't read music.
You know, it's not something I'm proud of. It's just an effect of how I went about it. But
well, I'm saying
that if I could.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that maybe you don't need to. You know, I mean,
I haven't let it hold me back. That's for sure. Yeah.
Okay, how would you describe your music to somebody listening to this interview or Music Stories? You know, we've heard a bit of your track. How would you describe it? What's your genre, so to speak?
I think I'm a poetic storyteller, and that I bring in elements of folk, pop, rock, sometimes a little jazz. So ultimately, I call it chamber folk pop. Okay. Because I think without the strings, which are so important to me, it would be different. I love violin, I love cello, and I love all of that floating on top of a rhythm section. So, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of Americana thrown in there. I know y'all like Americana in the UK.
Wow.
And I don't think about it as consciously, but I am very influenced by, you know, old country and anything that has that twang, I absolutely love.
I suppose it depends on how you're feeling when you write the song, doesn't it? Or what instruments you kind of use to express the song.
Yes. At the end of the day, I like to think of myself as a musical storyteller.
Yeah. Brilliant. What advice would you give to somebody listening to this? You know, because we get a lot of up and coming musicians, much less experienced than you, just starting out, you know, struggling. I'd say most people in the music industry are struggling because it is a struggle, isn't it? But what would you say to somebody who's less experienced? What advice would you give them, just generally speaking?
You know, I used to say to find a gig where you could just shed, where nobody in the industry is going to be there, just to practice and be able to make mistakes and not worry about it. You know, your local pub or a folk club, you know, somewhere not in your town, and to do that every week so you can really figure out who you are and, you know, kind of gauge your audience reaction and relationship. Now I feel like the advice should be a little bit different because so many people live stream from home and they just immediately go public and live with what they're doing. So I think my advice to someone now would just be to think of the audience as your buddies, as your friends. You know, it's not about this fourth wall anymore. There's no separation. And I think what's so wonderful about coming up in this era is that you can have a direct relationship with your fans without any middle people. And that is so powerful. I didn't grow up with that. It was always about the gatekeeper, auditioning for this lawyer, this manager, like whatever it was. It was very like disempowering, you know, someone else held those keys to that audience relationship. And now I think there really are no rules. Just be authentically who you are and do it with love and appreciation.
That's great advice. I understand you run your own record label, so you don't you're not beholden to any of the big chaps.
That's true. Although, you know, there are a handful of TV shows I would love to get my music into, so I'm still beholden to them. But I actually can show you fresh off the presses.
Oh, wow.
This is the new album, The Other Side. It came into the office yesterday, and I'm just so excited about it. And to be able to celebrate over 20 years putting out albums through Empress Records with an amazing team that I have, who are all in it, you know, with heart and for the love of it. It is a huge blessing. So I don't know what kind of stamina I was born with to withstand this adventure, but I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be still at it and be able to share my music, especially in the UK.
Okay. Yes, that's lovely. You're off on tour, aren't you? You're doing lots of gigs in the UK, including a place, one of my favourite places, Blandford Forum in Dorset.
Oh, great.
In the West Country. You've got lots of dates in the UK and then lots in the US. What's it like for you when you're on tour? Is it, do you find it tiring, grueling, fun?
What would you say? Smiling because I love being on tour. A lot of people think I'm nuts because I say that. They're like, it must be so hard. You know, they say like with great concern, like, how do you keep a routine? How do you maintain your health? And even as someone who's very mindful of my health as a cancer thriver, I'm now celebrating 5 years in remission, which
is good.
Very
wow.
Exciting.
So, brilliant.
You know, I'm able to somehow keep more of a routine when I know I'm going to sound check, playing a show, eating dinner, staying at the hotel, waking up in the morning, doing some, you know, Empress work for my label, and then we're off to the next place. When I come home, it's like, where do I begin? Everybody knows I've been away. Everybody wants to talk to me on the phone. You know, I have like a pile of mail up to the ceiling. It's all very chaotic and unstructured. And I'm not good at instilling a structure into my days. So to be on the road is kind of like, you know, it's like a mobile conservatory approach to life. And I just love seeing different audiences every night, hearing their stories when they come up to me at the merch table and just, you know, shoot the breeze with me and tell me what's going on with them. So that connection in person and also just the, you know, somewhat of a regularity to our days. I really love it.
Yeah. Okay, that's brilliant. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for talking to me on Music Stories. Your single Flowers for Free is available everywhere. Your album The Other Side is just about available everywhere.
It's available. It came out today at midnight.
That's amazing. And your website is rachelsage.com.
That's right.
And we'll put that in the text as well that goes with the podcast episodes. And thanks very much again for talking to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Music Stories is a free podcast with no fees paid to contributors in the hope that it'll help and inspire others in the music industry. Get in touch if you've got a story to tell. If you would like a professional podcast made or would like training so you can do it yourself, I can help. Go to tonylloydradio.com.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.